It was critically important. A declaratory judgment is an appropriate judicial vehicle to do just what you have described. It was necessary for us to make a altogether proper declaration about the constitutionality of this statute because millions and billions of dollars of potential insurance coverage had to be organized by the insurers to cover Michigan's drivers. So they had to know whether the statute was any good or not. So after working very hard on it, our court came to the conclusion, as I recall, that it was not constitutional the way it was written, and it needed to be fixed up. So I had been taught throughout my life that if a statute is not constitutional, it's invalid, it's void. It has no binding existence, so I was prepared to produce an opinion that said as much. When the majority of my colleagues said, well, that's true, except this will throw the whole state of Michigan into terrific confusion about auto insurance, so let's hold that it's not constitutional yet, but we'll approve it for the interim, and we'll give the legislature, I think it was 18 months, within which to correct the technical deficiencies, one of my colleagues said, which means to take an unconstitutional statute and try to make it constitutional.
And we're getting here, as I recall, into due process and that sort of thing.
Absolutely. It was, as I say, I wish I'd read it, but I do recall that during this interim period now, the statute's binding on everybody. This unconstitutional statute, my colleague said, which isn't worth the paper it's written on, will be binding upon every registered motorist in the state of Michigan and on the insurance companies that are writing the insurance and on the victims of accidents. Well, the Plaintiffs Bar Association thought they had died and gone to heaven. Here they'd lost the case on the constitutionality of the statute, but nevertheless won the case because the Supreme Court put out a majority opinion holding that, well, it isn't any good. We're going to leave it in place and give the legislature 18 months to fix up the deficiencies. Now, that's probably a good example of a case in which I don't know whether I had any chance of convincing my colleagues that that's judicial craziness to do that. But if I had any chance, I probably lost it because I was so heated about what I regarded as a totally inappropriate judicial performance.
Is there any counterpart to that in Michigan constitutional history that you know of? I understand this sort of thing has been done where in New Jersey or someplace. What can you tell the tape about that?
My memory is that there isn't any counterpart in Michigan judicial history at all. There hadn't been at that time. Mm-hmm. And there had been a case or two in which that device was utilized elsewhere. In my argument, Schaefer's dissent, as I recall, was that doesn't make it right. It's still wrong. And even if there had been some precedent in Michigan, it wouldn't be right. But that's my memory, that there isn't, it wasn't done before that, and it hasn't. Well, I thought the world was coming to an end. Here was the Michigan Supreme Court behaving in a utterly non-judicial fashion, reaching out to do the work of the legislature, really invading the separation of powers principles in a serious way in a statute which had very high profile. But I was in the minority, and my colleagues who saw it differently were men of and women of goodwill and good faith and not dumb by any means, so I accepted that as an instance in which I simply could not see and still can't how the decision was valid under the Michigan Constitution. But that's just what happened. The legislature got the statute back and altered it in a way which ultimately satisfied all of us in the court that the unconstitutionality of it had been corrected.
Was there any similarity? I realize there are certain very easily observable distinctions, but you find also in the classic case on comparative negligence some similar mindset among your colleagues on the court where in, I think it was probably after you got there, 75 or 76, there was a case, I think it's Kirby versus something or another, where there had been an abortive attempt by the opinion of the court, that is, people on the court sought to get four votes for switching by judicial decision from the contributory negligence to the comparative negligence system in Michigan. And then, I guess I lose track a little bit about what the change was on the court, but a couple of years later, in 78, I think it was, you had this Plasek, P-L-A-C-E-K, versus Sterling Heights case.
Yeah.
And there again, I think you did not write, I think you concurred.
Yes, I did.
But was this a somewhat similar, was this also an example of where the court functioned in a way that showed its disposition not to follow in close track to the adjudication traditions of Michigan and the United States and got off on another tack, or is it not that kind of a case? Do you remember it?
Yeah, I do. I remember it in a general way.